I'm Michel Couillard and delighted to be with you today as your 2020 Global Chair of the Council of Real Estate. Today, we'll be talking with Constantine Korologos, Tino for the Intimates, and John Viggers about the Councilor's new disaster response initiatives, which is one of our given back efforts. Also, I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the exceptional leadership of Scott Maldivin, who has been an important driver in formalizing this and other given back initiatives. Tino, we have been driving this agenda for some time now. Would you please tell me what inspired you to create the Councilor's Disaster Response Group?
Sure. Thanks, Michelle. I think even prior to becoming a member of the Councilor's, I was involved with the Appraisal Institute. And back in 2001, worked downtown. And after directly feeling the experience of what happened on 9/11, some of the appraisers from the Appraisal Institute and members of the Councilors of Real Estate got together and felt that there's a way beyond giving money to actually help people that were directly affected by 9/11. And as real estate people, the first thought that came to mind is the market area, the immediate area around the Trade Center site had tenants who were not going to be able to access their space. And there's probably going to be a need for some assistance for people that were impacted by that don't have an idea of how to treat it and what access they might have, et cetera. So as a group, we got together, we started to read leases for people, telling them that we're not attorneys or representing as attorneys, but we want to be there to help. And it felt like a way that you could take your professional experience and bring it to help out people that can use that experience and advice. And then fast forward to 2017, it directly affected me because I was having a wedding ceremony down in the Florida Keys in October. And I remember sitting and watching the Weather Channel and seeing the storm head toward Isla Mirada, which is where the wedding was going to be held, and saying to myself, really? Isla Mirada? So after that, the thought was, how can we help our members first? How do we make sure everyone is okay? And how do we leverage the experience and resources that we do have as professionals to help people in need when a disaster like this occurs? And had the conversation with Scott Moldavin, and I think that was, in my mind, where some of the impetus for creating this idea of bringing members together to try to support each other when disaster hits. I knew that the councils had a lot of experience that made sense. The immediate need was going to be for the safety of the councilors. Is everyone okay? Do you still have access to your space? Do you maybe need temporary space to run your business? And is there a counselor that might be able to help them? So these were the thoughts, and I'm excited about where this could go going forward.
I can tell, Tino, this is very personal for you, and I appreciate your vision to utilize members' industry expertise to step in at these difficult moments. So, John, I understand this sort of disaster response and recovery is a large part of your everyday responsibilities, right? And so what have you learned so far with I mean, it is an important part of your work, even though your work obviously is real estate primary, but you're putting a lot of time in responding to the disaster in terms of trying to find solution and recovery to these disasters. So what have you learned so far?
Well, going back to, first off, getting out of college, and I'll be brief. I was lucky enough to be on a volunteer fire department for a few years when I first got out of school before I really even got into commercial real estate. And a few years later, I find myself in, at this time, at that time, before I was doing more consulting and brokerage, I was managing assets. And unfortunately, for some of my clients and tenants, we dealt with some fires. And how I approached those had a lot to do with what I learned fighting fires as a, frankly, as a kid. How to approach a fire, how to resolve the quick situations that were dealt with. As time evolved in my business, for some reason, I ended up becoming somewhat of a go-to person for receiverships and REOs, and in turn, taking over highly distressed assets. Now, typically financially highly distressed, but oftentimes also physically highly distressed. My big test of everything I had done early on in my career then kind of came to a summation with the floods in 2008 in the eastern part of Iowa. And at that point, I very distinctly remember wading out of the building. I was way too dumb and young at that point, but I stayed in like a captain watching the ship go down until the very last second with my laptop held up over my head and wading out of the building as the floodwaters took over. Within 2 to 3 weeks, I was on site 18 hours a day with 300 plus people cleaning and gutting out these buildings and doing everything we could to get our people back in. The thing is I think as real estate people, and the reason I bring that up is only this, I think as real estate professionals, this isn't something you plan for. You can do everything possible to plan for it. You can have manuals, you can do all of this, but when it happens, it comes so fast that typically we're not allowed time to sit back and read a manual. We just have to dive deep into ourselves and all of our resources and step into these situations. And for me, I somewhat take a somewhat military approach when I've been tossed into these circumstances to kind of do a triage after the end, as in addition to a triage while we're going through the process, and kind of what did I learn? And I realized through many of these that a couple of key phrases just came into mind, and they've kind of always driven me, and that is, I first and foremost always want to make sure that everything is safe. What can I do to make sure there's zero life safety issues, both post-immediate the situation and then ongoing after that? The other thing is to make sure that we've secured the assets for the benefit of our clients and everybody involved. And then the third and oftentimes the most important piece was really to do everything right. And that sounds simple and trivial, but the real component of that is that if you start cutting corners, you're always looking over your shoulders. And it's kind of a driving rule that I try to apply with business. And there's a lot of ways that you can cut corners, but it's just to really do everything right. One of the other things was the ability to really engage and empower your people. And sometimes you're working with people that you don't know very well, but my people throughout a variety of these situations, I've been very lucky to really embrace and develop the teams and the resources and the people to develop and work through these problems. And unfortunately, again, whether it's fires, floods, tornadoes, or highly distressed assets, this is just something that's evolved for me within my business. And consequently, now as I've had the opportunity or misfortune to do this many times, is what can I do to help others? And that's one of the reasons that I love the CRE organization, and what can we employ with our past experiences, and how can we help others, help their clients, help all those people that are affected?
Well, John, I mean, being well equipped to respond in the moment of crisis is clearly a personal passion to both of you. Thank you for all the work you do on this. I have probably more of a current questions to both of you, actually, but looking at the current COVID-19 situation, how do you think this crisis, which is hitting globally and more intensively, should be part of the disaster response initiatives? Do you have any points there, Tino and John, to comment on this?
Sure. I'll put my thoughts. I think that first thing it shows us is that the disasters, the surprises, the black swan shows up in different forms and in different ways. And you know, John, as you mentioned before, it's even though we think we're ready to anticipate it, it still catches people by surprise, and we're not as ready as we'd like to be. So, you know, I think as far as the coronavirus is concerned, it's clearly going to affect how people do business. There's a human health component to it, and it's going to potentially change and maybe cause some distress in the market that could be anywhere from mild to severe. Mm-hmm. And that affects our membership. So I think as a group within the counselors of real estate, we continue to monitor things. There could be information that we come across that might be useful to members that we will post access to, and just continue to monitor it and be there in the event that members have a question or need and are being affected by this. And then we could see how we can, as a group, be there to help provide support in their disaster.
John, do you have comments on?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. One of the big things that I have to also, when I've been tossed into these situations, again, whether it's a financial situation or something else, we're doing our job. And so we're asked to step into a leadership role, or we're tossed into a leadership role, mm-hmm. to help. And in a sense, we're working, we're doing our job. But the people that we're there with, many times, this is deeply personal for them. And whether this is a mom and pop retailer that is dealing with a fire and they just lost their entire business, or whether this is a significant natural disaster of tornadoes and floods and hurricanes and all of the other elements that can come out there, these people are dealing with their lives. They may have lost their home. They may have lost their pets. They may have lost loved ones. And it again, we're working, but we're in there helping them. And so I think we have to be very aware of that and be sensitive to that to help them. And again, going back to the physical space, typically we're dealing with the physical side of assets. The whole thing that we're dealing with today and what is going on is so much more beyond that. And the physical space may become affected significantly later from a financial damage or something else, but it's our role to step into these positions and help people through that. I am absolutely not an expert in the medical arena or any of these things that affect us, and I'm going to pull the resources of our government and our specialists in this area, whether it's a CDC or whatever it may be, to make sure that we're doing nothing more than being proactive. One of the things that I've been doing is buying standalone hand sanitizers, and was able to stockpile some of those to just place around my properties, including my retail centers or properties that we're investors in or that we're responsible for. Simple little things like that, just to let people know we care. Mm-hmm. And depending on if we're all working from home here quite soon, communication devices and being prepared for that are so critical. And so as professionals, I think it's our job to make sure that we are prepared for that. And what other redundant communication sources do we have? And maybe that's satellite phones. Maybe that's GPS responders for sending text messages and emails. I mean, there's a variety of other tools out there. But what happens, I mean, what happens if we lose the ability to effectively communicate with our people? And then what can we do? Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, some of this is just out of our hands.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think your fellow counselors should know so they can be prepared to respond when necessary?
We created the disaster response volunteer team. so that members have access to others when they need some sort of specialized assistance following a disaster. And we reached out to members via an email to opt in to participate.
Right.
So I think this, and thank you to all of the members who have signed up and made themselves available. Scott Moldavin and some of the other members of the Giving Back team, especially Scott, really assembled these resources into an insights document, and between Scott and Samantha have done a tremendous job, and it's a lot of really great information. And again, appreciate those who've signed up and welcome everyone to roll up their sleeves to help out so that when something does happen, we have the full complement of the counselors there to help out.
I agree, Tino. I think that the document as it stands today is, as we've said, is kind of a live document. And outside of the current circumstances and what we're dealing with COVID, it is a great quick read resource and tool. And frankly, I wish I had it in the past and I had a quick sample of that. We live in an amazing time with access to information so quickly and readily available. And when I was first dealing with some of these things many years ago, none of that existed. And today, this document is a great resource and tool, and a lot of people have put a lot of time and thought, and it's well orchestrated. It's simple to read. It's simple to follow. And you can drill into it and use it more quickly than trying to go out and start doing all the researching on your own. So it's a very simple process to go to, and you can pinpoint what specific issues you need to deal with.
Well, Tino, John, thank you. Thank you sincerely, both of you, for leading this effort. And if other members are interested in joining the disaster response group, how can they join?
Well, members can reach out to me or to Samantha, who's the Director of Public Service Initiatives on mm-hmm. staff. And I am excited to be part of an organization that cares about people and we, like I said before, welcome everyone's support, even a little bit of their time when something strikes, for us to all get behind our members and support them.
Thank you.